The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas, part of the Derek Stevens Empire. Is that what he calls it? He calls it the Derek Stevens Empire?
I doubt it, but it'd be cool if he did.
I think he should.
He should, yeah.
Hey, Derek, why don't you call it the Derek Stevens Empire?
It's my empire, man.
Jason Weingarten will join us a little later on the show. Wonder if that guy's started his baseball stuff. Never know with Jason. Sometimes he's like,
let's dial it back again. Let's bring it back to the tennis odds. Baseball, what country, what city?
That's very
league.
True. With him?
Yeah.
That's very true. He could be doing baseball, just not MLB.
Right.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Kelly and I are going to talk NBA MVP here momentarily. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Mike Rouse. According to Will, nobody is winning games in MLB or winning the NCAA championship. It's a good instinct to have an under instinct and,
yes, it is.
And a skepticism, yeah. I believe. GV at New Jersey, New York. Can we get an update on the NCAA championship formula, or is it too soon? Oh, I did it yesterday, my man. I did it yesterday. Just to refresh, currently qualifying, Houston, UConn, Arizona, and Auburn. Houston, UConn, Arizona, and Auburn. Just on the outside looking in, Purdue and Tennessee, just on the outside looking in. By the way, Duke, no Sweet 16 appearance from John Shire. We now have two exceptions to that. Remember, Kevin Ollie with the Huskies in 2014, Danny Hurley from last year with UConn. So unless you're a UConn coach, the Sweet 16 thing stands. And then Creighton is also on the outside looking in, but Creighton has not beaten three teams in the top 10% of RPI, which is what we've used since the beginning of this formula. They have a chance to do it against Marquette. Marquette also a bit on the outside looking in. But Houston, UConn, Arizona, Auburn, just to refresh from yesterday. Larry Fresh, after your outlook on Bobby Brown's weight and stage presence, I'm skipping that show and going to see Jodeci, as you should. Because Devontae's swing is probably slim. All right, Kelly, let's talk some NBA MVP.
Let's do it.
Because I think, you know, we talked a whole bunch of NBA when I got back yesterday, which to me right now is that the prospects of these Western Conference finals specifically,
I hear
Western
you.
Conference playoffs, and I know we've said this in previous years, but this year the Western Conference playoffs could be just every matchup could be awesome.
Starting with the play-in tournament.
Yes.
Like that's the craziest.
Warriors, Lakers in a 9-10 or something like that.
That was, what was it, our guy J.J. Redick losing his mind on ESPN the other day, where everybody wants to do, like, who do you trust more, the Lakers or the Warriors? And it's like, well, they could both be bounced here. Like, that's how good the West is right now.
But let's talk MVP, because we didn't really get into it yesterday. We got into it a bit. Right now, at this very moment, Nikola Jokic, the two-time MVP. Remember, he did not win it last year. They stole it from him, Kelly. Wouldn't let him win three in a row like Larry Joe Bird or Wilt. Nikola Jokic, currently minus 150. He was plus money for most of this season. He's now at minus 150. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no relation, plus 250. Is the second shot here on the board. And then Luka's at plus 550. Giannis is at 16-1. Embiid will not qualify. Now, Embiid brings up matters when it comes to Sixers futures, both Eastern Conference and and for the title. If he were to come back, would that trigger a bet for you? Like, if you knew that he was coming, which, by the way, none of us know.
Yes.
Would that trigger a bet?
Yes,
for
it
you?
Would.
It would.
It's kind of, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah. We're going to talk exact as tomorrow. We talked about, I don't have a bet. I don't have a bet on to win the
anything.
NBA Finals, to win the Western Conference, to win the Eastern Conference.
Which you've never had before.
Like, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Like, yeah, usually I've had something that I'm kind of sweating into the playoffs. And this was, you know, and there's reasoning for that, right? Like, you know, I've always liked the Bucks. So beginning of the season, it was, okay, I like the Bucks, but do I really think they're that much better than the Celtics? And we bring this up as pro tips often, or when we're talking about,
pre-season,
betting, right? Win totals or futures or, yeah, how many times do we say, oh, you can wait till you get into the season and, you know, possibly get a better number, get a better feel for teams. That was my intention with the Bucks in the East and see what the Celtics looked like. And if they maybe looked like they had some flaws, they don't have very many flaws. So I really never got involved in the Eastern Conference. In Western Conference, it was the one mistake I made. I bet Kawhi MVP when I really should have bet the Clippers to win the Western Conference.
Right, because Kawhi was like 100-1.
Yeah, I have a 150-1 ticket that looks really cool and sounds really cool to talk about, but it ain't going to get home.
I never understood the Kawhi. I know like people came on and were like, oh, Kawhi 100-1, and yeah. Everybody's like, 100-1, I'll grab it. His stats are so much, just his raw stats are so much worse than the other candidates.
At the time, though, is this still a applies now. I think a month ago it would have been stronger. Just his efficiency numbers were like out of control.
Right.
But you know, we see Nikola Jokic doing this every other night now.
Here's a question. Okay. Do you think, and I'm not saying this disparagingly, I'm saying this good for them. Do you think, because we obviously spent a whole NFL season talking about awards, and we do so to a lesser extent, but we do so in the NBA as well, that the ESPN basketball podcast guys, I'm talking about the Windhorse of the world,
yep,
that those guys have an inordinate influence on this market based on who they, like if they do a new podcast tomorrow,
yeah,
and one of those guys, Bontemps is another one of them, right?
Yep, Tim Bontemps, a straw poll.
Zach Lowe. If one of those guys decides tomorrow to make a case for one of these guys, let's say someone comes on tomorrow and is like, Giannis, he's the best. Do you believe that they move awards markets almost more than anyone in any sport? Because I kind of do.
Yeah. I mean, in more, specifically, yeah. Tim Bontemps straw poll.
Tim Bontemps straw poll.
Right. I mean, that is, it's almost, I mean, books are adjusting based off of that, not even bets that they're taking.
I'm glad you brought up the straw poll.
Yeah.
Did you get the feeling, we didn't talk about this.
No, we didn't.
Did you get the feeling that this NFL season, that the NFL clamped down on straw polls?
Oh, I didn't think that's where you're going with this. No, I guess I didn't, but
just for the sake of having drama in their actual awards ceremony on February 8th, whereas the NBA doesn't quite do that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, to the overall point, I don't know if I feel like I see many with the NFL.
But we used to do them,
or
someone would put them out
that are that are nearly as respected as much as like Tim Bontemps doing a straw poll in the NBA MVP.
By the way, I'm not sure it's a bad thing though, right? Because like that gives folks an opportunity to bet Joe Flacco at 100-1 without somebody influencing the market. So, where did you think I was going with that?
No, just of Bontemps, the second straw poll he did, which is the latest one at this point.
Yeah.
It was so quick after Joel Embiid had been basically disqualified from the ruling. I'm interested to see. I'm not taking one side or the other here, but I'm interested to see what the next straw poll results are.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering how many voters or people that participate in the straw poll, because they're not all MVP voters.
Okay.
But how many people had the just reaction of, okay, Tim's texting me or emailing me to get this into him. Like, Joel Embiid just got disqualified 3 days ago. I don't really have enough time to like think about this all this much. Nikola Jokic, that's right. Who I'm sending it.
I like that you did.
Nikola Jokic. Like, because it's not the actual MVP, it's Tim Bontemps' straw poll, right? It doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Okay, let's winnow this down. You believe that only the top four guys can win this: Jokic, Gilgeous Alexander, Doncic, or Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
Okay. Giannis is 16-1. He's the long shot here. Do you believe that's the best bet?
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
Even if you'd asked me this yesterday, I would have gone Shea, because I think Shea over anything over 2-1, I think it's still a good bet. I think him and Nikola Jokic should be much more closely priced. But when you're talking Giannis getting out to 16-1 again, that long, if you have other bets on some of these other guys, I think it's a good time to add him.
The Shea thing is fantastic, though, right? And I know people have him at really much better numbers than this. But isn't the Shea thing strikes me as one of these things now where it's, oh, because I didn't get him at 15-1 or 30-1 or whatever what people have him at, right? Well, plus 250 doesn't seem sexy. To me, okay, what is it now? I'm going to give you the exact update on it. He has scored 30 or more points
yes.
in, I'm gonna get the updated after last night in 44 of 58 games.
Mm-hmm.
44 of 58.
It's incredible.
And if you look at, I don't know, man. I think this is going to be reversed. Like 2 weeks from now, isn't Shea going to be the favorite?
I hope so. I think there's a good chance. I bet him a couple times over 3-1. Okay. I have plus 350, I believe, on him as my longest ticket. So, but you know, kind of like as you were leading in there, I have 350 and 325. I think a lot of people, yes, were mad they missed out on a longer shot ticket. I think there's another way to look at it. A team that you didn't know how to truly feel about this year, you've waited as the season has gone on, and now you can't argue that this team is not deservingly one of the best teams in the Western Conference. Therefore, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander belongs in this conversation when I think there was questions maybe about that before.
They legit.
But you're still getting value on that number.
Yeah, they legit can be the number one seed. Yes. They're tied with the Timberwolves with a 41-17 record right now in the Western Conference. The Nuggets are two games back in third place, if you will, at 39-19. If they're the number one seed, and Shea literally scores 30 in every game except, I don't know, in the end, 17 of them.
Yep.
And he's playing every game, by the way. He's a throwback to when I was a kid and everybody played every game. None of this load management garbage. I love Jokic. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's amazing. He may still win the title, right?
Yeah.
I'd still bet them to win the title over OKC, but for MVP, I think Shea's the bet at plus 250.
Agreed. And when it comes to the advanced analytics guys, it's Shea all the way. Estimated wins, the EPM, everything that these guys bring up, and we've got heavy analytics-based voters in the NBA.
That's the point. Yep. That last point is the key. Jason Weingarten, more NBA talk. We got a whole bunch coming up. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free Visa Daily Newsletter. And today's newsletter is all over the place, Kelly. What do we got?
Long shots. It's called Long Shots.
It's called
promo
Long Shots.
In there. A little bit of a pod play. All three of us on one of the same guys this week. So a little preview of that. We got, how about Mike Somich on early Kentucky Derby research?
He's a horse guy.
And your NFL Combine fix with Zach Cohen writing about a prop.
Zach Cohen. All over the place.
Anyone to beat 40-yard dash a combine winner? Yes, no. Plus 425 on the yes.
Someone to beat the record?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which we said yesterday was John Ross from Washington. 4.22 he ran once in the combine. That's the Visa newsletter, by the way, which Bill Ady does lovingly every day. Get expert analysis and latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visa.com/newsletter. He does do it lovingly. That is the correct word from Bill Ady.
Yeah.
Speaking of golf, we will get to Kelly's thoughts here on not the Honda Classic, but the Cognizant Classic.
Makes me so sad.
We're going to get to that moment too. What is Cognizant? Did you and Matt? Oh, you said you and Matt did something on this.
It's a great. Give me a minute.
Because we did it for college football bowls where we tested you on
this,
all the sponsors.
Yeah, this was like the best. This is better than any bowl game. Okay, here we go. Cognizant helps companies modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they stay ahead in a fast-changing world.
What a word salad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's another one for you. Yeah. Cognizant is an American multinational information technology services and consulting company headquartered in New Jersey.
Okay. I don't know.
Still don't know what they do.
It's golf. We'll get to it momentarily.
rich people sponsored a golf
tournament.
That's
right. That's exactly what it is. And is this the return of Daniel Berger also?
That's right.
It's leaflet week.
Burger
on the
back.
Show. From Denny Avdia to Daniel Berger. Before we get to that, though, you wanted to say one more thing about the NBA MVP market.
Yeah,
I don't know where you wanted to go with this, but we didn't really make the case for Luka at all.
Yeah, just like we talked about the West and how eager we are to see that in the playoff. I think this MVP race down the stretch here is going to be one of the best in a long, long time. And we talked a lot about Jokic, Shea, Giannis, I think has drifted. I think that there is still a, I think there's still a path that he could get home with this. If the Bucks keep winning here, they get in that number two seed, finish the Eastern Conference there. I think at the end of the day, some voters are going to look down and see Giannis had a season where he scored more points than he ever has in a year, averaged more assists per game than he ever has in a season. I think you can make a case for Giannis. That's why now you've drifted to 16. I think it's worth adding if you have some bets on some of these other guys. And then, like, look, Luka. Like, I was the anti-Luka guy for basically all season, Gil. Now they've lost two straight again, but whatever. But they were, you know, they had when they was the whole argument was the record was not going to be good enough at the end to really consider a guy like this. But if the Mavs finish off the season like they've been playing over the past week, he's going to be right in the conversation. Deserves to be with the ridiculous numbers he has. So it really is. I've got my personal feelings on these guys, obviously, and I do think that there is some slight value on Shea's number still. I think from where it's drifted out to, I think there's a little bit of value on Giannis. But you could sit here and make a case for all four, or any one of these four of these guys to win this award, in my opinion.
A. Brown, am I the last one to the party hoping that Gil asks people to now refer to him as Gilgis? If Alcaraz can select various acceptable first names, why can't you? Chris Hardman.
I like that.
Doesn't SGA get a blind MVP vote because he's the basketball Gil Alexander? And then he says nice things.
I've never once thought about that.
I will say no relation every time I say that.
No, like you have. No. But yeah, like the Gil part, I haven't really thought about that before.
Chris Hardman with very nice things. I won't repeat what else he says because then it sounds self-serving, but very nice stuff he said. Thank you, Chris. Chris also was the guy who also took Matt Brown to task on the field goals all the time. I think it's...
I found that video yesterday. We didn't even talk about
it. It's amazing. When we were doing the Matt Brown field goal thing, you were looking for something of us on Primetime Action talking about the inception of that bet. You looked and looked. You never found it. And then yesterday, you're cleaning out your computer.
Couldn't find it anywhere in the VEASAN archives. I was beating myself up over it. And then I'm just cleaning space off my own computer last night. I'm like, what the hell is this? It says Matt's field goal bet, yeah. And I 2021. I'm like, no way. Don't tell me this is the video we were looking for forever. Now, it wasn't exactly the video we were looking for because it was the night after we first.
Correct.
So it wasn't the in the moment, like Matt making the outlandish claims that he could kick the field goal.
But it was the video where this was the greatest window into his mind. The reason that it ended up happening is because he had actually taken the step of ordering the Duke football.
The football.
Yes.
Because he wanted the legitimate football that kickers use in the NFL.
And in his brain, once that purchase was made, it was a go, even though it happened 2 years later. Anyway, back to this. Shea Gilgis, I think, is still the price at +250. And I know a whole bunch of folks, I get him a lot longer than this. But I think, you know what, another great point about, we talk about strength of schedule. Last thing on this, we'll get to golf.
Yeah.
We talk about strength of schedule with these teams. And, this team has it hard. This team has it easy down the stretch. One of the things you should think about with these bets is take a team like OKC. I want to see if this is a good example. I'm just doing this on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do OKC, right?
And the team records will matter here.
Oh, 100%.
You know what? Like you brought that up a couple times. Absolutely. Like, OKC beats out Denver in the standings, that's going to matter.
It's going to, if he's, again, if they're number one and he scored 30 and I don't know, let's call it 66 of 82 games. Like, come on.
And we talked about this a bit yesterday. What are it's more important for Minnesota and Oklahoma City to try to get that 1 and 2 seed. And in all likelihood, they will. You just brought it up. Shea, like, never misses games. He never misses games. Denver is going to be much more cautious with Jokic down the stretch here. Not to say that they plan on him missing games, but if anything pops up, it's going to be Jokic take the next night off.
Also, the point I was going to make, you know, we talk about strength of schedule, but take a team like Oklahoma City. If you go to the very end of the regular season, they play like Milwaukee and Dallas their last two games.
Mm.
If you can backload the very end of your schedule with tougher opponents, does that also give you an advantage in the voting because you will have beaten up on the easier games earlier? And so people will, voters will in their minds be like, well, I can't not give it to him for these last two games if he happens to have bet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it maybe works another way in your favor, too, of like, okay, those are going to be some spotlight games at the end of the regular season.
I mean, right.
That for everybody that wants to say, well, I don't get the whole like the small market thing. Like, is that really a thing in 2024? You know
be.
What I mean?
Stop
like,
it already. Yeah.
Like, stop it already. Yeah. But if anybody does want to bring that up, fine. He's going to play Giannis and Luka on the last two games. That's what you're telling me? Like, those are going to be spotlight games.
3 minutes of golf with Kelly Bidlin. Cognizant Classic.
The Cognizant Classic. Down to Palm Beach Gardens we go. Love this tournament. Gil, I covered it for like 12 years. It's fantastic.
Did you really?
Will always be the Honda Classic to me. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Down in Palm Beach Gardens. Yeah, I went, look, this is a tough tournament every year. This is always one of the toughest tournaments on the PGA Tour schedule. All the best golfers in the world live about 15 minutes away from this course and all decide to skip it every single year, Gil, because it is way too tough. Don't want to go out there and play 15 great holes of golf and then slice a few into the water and you're all the way back in the bottom of the leaderboard. So you get a lot of guys that skip it. It's kind of annoying. Rory is teeing it up this year, though. So he will be your the golf odds have been interesting every single week to me. But you're talking about Rory at the top of the odds board. It's 7-1 at DraftKings right now. That goes all the way to Cameron Young at 22. Wow. So, you know,
you don't often see that.
You don't often see that. And for people that like living in the mid, you know, kind of these mid-range odds like I do and find myself in, I think you got some attractive bets that you can make. This week, 144 players in the field, top 65 in ties. We are back to that. One slight change, if you are familiar with this tournament and this course, the par 4 10th has been lengthened to a par 5, so there are now 3 par 5s on the course. Par 71 is where it's at now. Bets that I made. 4 outrights, Russell Henley, Eric Cole, Daniel Berger,
yes,
and Adam Svensson.
Let's do it.
Russell Henley, he's won here before, always plays well seemingly at this course. Top 10 model play for me this week. He has finished T3, T8, T20 his last 3 times here, Gil, but also won here before. Solid results so far this season. T24 at the Genesis, T4 at the Sony. Eric Cole lost here last year to Chris Kirk. That was a long shots divided play because I had Chris Kirk for the winner. Wes and Matt, I think, had 100-1 on Eric Cole, and it lost. I felt bad for him, but, you know, hey, you got to take a winner. Eric Cole, I'm going back to, man. This guy just keeps going out, putting up good results on tour almost every single week. T10 at the Genesis, T14 at Pebble, T21 at the Amex, T13 at Sony this week. So play on him. Daniel Berger, this is right where he grew up, Gil. He went to high school 10 minutes away from this course. He's played this course a bajillion times. He's finished here 2nd at this tournament twice. Yes, he did absolutely choke in 2022, one of the last times we've actually seen him play and give this tournament away. I think he had a 5-shot lead on Sunday. Choked that away. So Berger's on my outright card. Adam Svensson, kind of my surprise favorite play of the week. Also, he's a South Florida guy. Real good results this season, good results in this course. Really popular stat model. Played him in the outrights and then top 20s on Svensson, Henley, Poston, and Doug Gim.
Who was the one that all of you had that you were talking about?
Adam Svensson.
Adam Svensson.
Is the pod player.
And Berger was a back problem all these years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Chronic back.
Let's go, Dan Berger. Jason Weingarten, if we can find him under a cloud of smoke, that's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG, as in a numbers game, the fine program you're listening to right now.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199 when you use that promo code ANG. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Be smiling at.
Nah, you're no fun anymore. I don't even get the chicken look. You're just like, I'm just going to sit here and wait till shuts up.
Because we're doing the show off an easel.
Oh, yeah.
We get tweets at beating the book. Jordan Pagel, can you ask Jason if he's doing any baseball podcast this season? Have learned so much from him listening the last few years. Well, if only we.
How convenient!
How convenient! Anyway, let me get back to earth here. Jason Weingarten joins us now from under a cloud of smoke. You follow him at Spreadopedia. He might be the man to answer this question. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I thought I would shake things up a bit. Yesterday, I was not yelling at the post office. I got in a fight with Bank of America, America's second largest banking corporation. So if there's any listeners out there who work for Bank of America, maybe I can add Bank of America to the list of USPS and everybody who's mad at Jason recently.
Oh, okay.
Although it did work out. It wasn't really that big a deal, but I just thought I should shake things up and be mad at somebody else besides post office for a while.
Right.
How are you, Gil? I'm Kelly.
Been there, done that with you, Jason, with Bank of America. I've been there, done that with you. I'm on your side there.
Okay, so we have some cleaning up to do. Thank you, Jason. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. All right, let's answer Jordan Pagel's question first. Are you doing any baseball podcast this year? We'll get to the bank issue momentarily.
I'm doing one with Will tomorrow, actually, because he asked me to do one. I like Will.
I believe he said he's doing one with Will tomorrow before we had the technical difficulties.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's okay. What I caught, too.
Okay. So he's doing one with Will tomorrow. So Will's podcast should have been more because Will's strategy is to usurp all our guests first. That's Will's strategy. So he'll do a podcast with Jason tomorrow on the Should Have Bet More podcast about baseball pre-flop stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. If we can get Jason back, we're going to usurp Will usurping us by getting some of that information out of Jason first. That's what we're going to do. Oh, Jason's back. Jason, are you back? No, he's not.
I think they're still setting him up.
Okay, still setting him up. So we have to get baseball from him, and we have to get Bank of America stuff from him.
Yeah.
So much cleaning up.
I've got a story of mine that goes back forever with Bank of America. It was a fraud incident. I don't even really know how much you should talk about banking fraud issues.
No, but probably shouldn't.
It somehow involved the FBI at the end of the day. Yeah.
Did you get a call from the FBI?
No. I had to go meet with the FBI.
Mine was a fraud issue. Okay, Jason, wait a minute. Hold on.
Mine was a fraud thing. It was very annoying. It was in the middle of shipping a painting, and it screwed everything up. It was very frustrating.
Of course it was in the middle of shipping a painting at the post office. Of course it was. Okay, well, did you guys get all your stuff worked out? You actually met with the FBI, Kelly?
I had to go down to Bank of America, like, headquartered offices in West Palm Beach. This is forever ago. This is a dozen years ago. And they wouldn't tell me why I had to come in here, but all my stuff was like
super unnerving.
Oh, you know, it was incredibly unnerving. And then I walked in there and met with some person, and then I was in their office forever. I was in there for like 2-3 hours or something, and some FBI fraud guy like came in and like had to like verify my information, and that was it. It was just verify who I was, and that was it. And they're like, okay, we can unlock your stuff because someone had gotten into your like my accounts and changed everything.
Whatever. Yeah. Hey, Jason, can you stay for 2 segments? Because we got too deep into this.
Yeah.
Are you good? Okay.
Of course.
What was your? You worked it out though. You're okay with your bank now?
Yeah, it was a fraud thing, but I was in the middle of trying to ship stuff, and then everything stopped working, and the my ATM card, the machine wouldn't give it back, and very frustrated. You know, I get angry quick sometimes.
No, I didn't know that about you. Let me just tell my FBI story real quick since you triggered it in my head.
And I don't real quick like I yeah. like Jason. I don't know about you. I didn't like necessarily at the end of the day. I'm not trying to blame it on Bank of America. Like maybe they saved me. I don't really know.
Not,
but
it's not
it,
the bank,
it was a pain in the ass process.
They're
though.
Doing yeah. their job. Yeah, my FBI. So I don't know if I've told this story on air before or not. In the 90s, a kid who graduated high school with me tried to kill his dad. It's a true story.
Holy hell. I've never heard this story.
Literally to the point, right, where and this is how the laws are done. Obviously, his big error was trying to kill his dad for insurance money. But what he did was he crossed the state line from Maryland to D.C. So it became like a federal issue.
Mm.
Anyway, he ends up like one day I'm watching America's Most Wanted. And John Walsh is on there. This scum of the earth is going. And I'm like, I went to high school with that guy. So the FBI ends up contacting a bunch of his high school classmates. I did not get contact because I wasn't super close to him. But the guys who were all like, the FBI showed up at their place of work.
How was that okay?
Oh, they were like, what's happening? And, you know, they went man to man. And then, by the way, it gets like sealed in a grand jury for 10 years. 10 years to the day. One of the guys that I know from high school who met with the FBI calls me. He's like, Gilly, I couldn't wait. The first moment the 10 years elapsed to call you because then it was unsealed. He goes, first of all, they asked me, where do I think he is? I told him exactly where he was. They didn't follow up. Secondly, they all asked all of us, do you think he could have been capable of doing this? And all those other guys said no. You know what I said? Yes. I said, what? You said yes? He goes, I said, why did you say yes? He goes, because listen, this is a rationale. This is what he told the FBI. He goes, because one night, all of us went out to dinner. And there was 9 of us, and they only had 8 fillets left, and we all wanted fillets. No, it was 9 of us, and they only had 9 fillets left. 8 fillets left. And one of us went to the bathroom, one of the other person, and he made the decision that person, because he was in the bathroom, couldn't get the fillet. And I said, dude, you told the FBI that he was capable of killing his dad? Because then he goes, yes, it's perfect logic.
Ladies and gentlemen. I love the story.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is one of the best stories in the numbers game.
By the way, they caught him because he was on America's Most Wanted. And instead of like, he was like in Montana. And instead of fleeing into Canada, he was like, America's Most Wanted. He turned himself in. There's the betting tie into this story is that he and another one of our classmates had a bet that when they went to college, freshman year, they all gained like 50 pounds.
Yeah.
They had a $200 bet between them. Who would be the first person to lose those 50 pounds? So he goes on the lam after trying to kill his dad. He loses 50 pounds from the stress.
Wait, the same guy?
The same guy. When they catch him, he's in an orange jumpsuit with handcuffs on, and the guy who had the bet with him goes to visit him. And the first words out of the perpetrator guy's mouth was, I guess you owe me those $200. Oh, my God. That's the end of that story. Didn't think we'd talk FBI today, but there you go. It's the betting tie-in. Jason Weingart. Jason, give me your favorite baseball bet that you have.
So baseball's a weird thing, especially with betting, because one year you could totally hate a player and next year you love a player, and you have to be able to sort of, you know, be agnostic about a player, you know, when you don't, you know. You gotta be able to kind of roll with punches, is what I'm saying. In many years, I have disliked Pete Alonso greatly. Not personally, just he's always ruining my bets. Home run markets, rookie of the year, whatever. This year, I love Pete Alonso. I think he's going to lead the league in home runs. And I hope he breaks every home run record. I hope he breaks Barry Bonds' record. I hope he is the king of home runs at the end of the season. If not, I hope he hits like 60 or 55, whatever. I hope he leads the league in home runs. That's my favorite bet. Beyond him just being what I think is a value bet for being one of the better power hitters, one of the guys maybe we don't just kind of talk about as much as, you know, Otani or Acuna or whoever. He's just a pure power hitter. He also mentioned he's going to donate $1,000 every time he hits a home run to dog rescue charities. So I personally hope he hits like 85 home runs. That would be awesome. But I actually think he's going to lead the league in home runs regardless of his charitable endeavors. So that's my favorite bet of the season so far to start things off.
What number did you have him at?
I got 8-1, 9-1, and 10-1 on him. So between 8 and 10, we'll call it 9, but it's a little bit cost average there.
Okay. Wow. Pete Alonso, the polar bears, they call him.
Polar bear. And you saw Tony hit a home run yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah. They get the uniforms fixed, by the way. That's the main thing I wanted.
That's a whole joke. But it's so weird. I even heard the Dodgers announcers complaining about it yesterday. The Dodgers have already played like 6 or 7 spring games. It's February 28th. Like, it's like having Christmas decorations up in July. I don't like it.
It really is a lot of games before the end of February. All right, Pete Alonso, most home runs. We'll get some more baseball thoughts on the other side. From Jason Weingarten, Under a Cloud of Smoke. Any other FBI stories we got, we're going to tell on here. Coming back, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Mako, Shades of Mako. I laughed so loudly listening to your opening joke on ANG yesterday morning. I was in public. People glared. Great execution on your part. That's the old... The old sushi joke is what it was.
The old, as he was sitting on the plane getting ready to take off, leaving Las Vegas, he was like, oh, I got a great joke for 2 weeks from now.
What quip can I open with tomorrow? Jesse Welch, that was impressive. Will Hill somehow jamming the phone, Jason's phone, to prevent Gil from usurping the usurping by Will Hill. And a Joe named Jim, I am with the Alonzo hype. Boris Client, contract year, grabbed 30-1 NL MVP last week. Low team expectations. If he and Alvarez mash the Mets into contention, the polar bear has a great chance. Jason Weingarten, kind enough to rejoin us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spreadopedia. I have many a question here, Jason. Let's begin with your second favorite bet, beyond Alonzo.
Second favorite bet.
Or whichever bet you want to share.
I'll tell you, it's still pretty early. I'm still kind of, thinking some things through. And like I said, I feel like this is like when you see Christmas decorations in July. It's still February. And I know everyone wants to know what's going on, what's going to happen. And it's still, I'm still getting acclimated to spring training myself. So I don't have a ton of bets. I will tell you, one of the guys who I think has looked very nice early in spring training is James Wood, the outfielder for the Nationals. Potentially, he could be up and playing center field rather quickly in D.C. He's 6'7". He's the centerpiece that they got in the Juan Soto trade. He's hit a couple home runs early. I don't necessarily think he's going to break camp with the Nationals, but I think the Nationals are a team that probably going to win more games this year than people expect to. They're building in the right direction.
Recently, in previous years here, like back in the day, you and I would fire on all kinds of season win totals. Recently, you haven't done that so much. What about this year? Do you expect to do a bunch or not?
Yeah, I mean, like I bet the Angels under is like 72, I think, or 72 and a half. It just, like, I look at that team, I'm sad for Mike Trout. I've kind of circled a couple win totals that I still have my eyes on, but I haven't gone crazy. I haven't run out there and just bet a ton of stuff yet. Like I said, I'm kind of in that veteran mode where I'm showing up a little later to camp this year.
What about some of the guys that we highlighted, that you specifically highlighted last year, like an Eli De La Cruz? Do you think it's a breakout for him? Not that last year wasn't.
Well, he's going to get better, but the problem is the value is on him, hopefully winning Rookie of the Year. In his second season, there's not much we can bet on. The jump from Rookie of the Year to MVP isn't happening that quickly. So, I'm very supportive of him as a player. I still have some of his cards, but as a betting opportunity, I think the Eli De La Cruz window is open and shut.
All right. If I said to you, all right, a team that is on nobody's radar is going to make the postseason, either American League or National League, what is the most likely club that I'm talking about from a category, again, where no one's really thinking about them?
Do the Giants count?
Yes, they do. They count.
I think you can kind of look at a tier of team like the Giants and say, they're always going to be competitive. It's weird though, because when you look, and I'm not trying to compare the Giants to the Dodgers here, but I was listening to the Dodgers game on the radio yesterday, and it just sort of made me think half of the teams are starting the season basically eliminated from the playoffs, whether they want to admit it or not, because teams just aren't really competing anymore. And that's not to say the Giants aren't. The Giants absolutely are, a team that is investing and trying to win, but it just feels like there are different tiers of teams that are actually competing, and teams that know they're not serious competitors, not even contenders, but competitors.
All right. By the way, now repeat everything you just said about the Giants very slowly. No, I'm kidding. Last thing, and then we'll let everybody go to Will's podcast, Should Have Bet More, for more of your insights. Is there a futures bet that you would make pre-flop here on anybody to win division, to win league, to win it all?
I think the American League is much more wide open than the National League, where you got the Dodgers and, you know, Braves basically duking it out ahead of everybody on top. In the American League, you know, I think you really get some interesting opportunities in the American League East, because everybody has a good team in that league, or in that division. So I would probably look to try to find somebody who's going to oppose Baltimore this year, because, you know, Baltimore is the popular team. Baltimore, the Reds, those are the most popular. If you ask anybody who's, you know, who's your favorite, this or that, you're going to hear Baltimore. You're going to hear the Reds a lot right now. I'm probably looking at somebody like the Yankees. I don't think the Red Sox are going to do it this year, but I do have my eye on them just to see what's going on. But I'm kind of interested in the Yankees. Don't forget, they're pairing Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, and we're really not talking about that as much as we should. That could be the lineup to beat if everything goes correct.
Kelly and I were just, Kelly brought this up off air. This Aaron Judge thing is amazing, and amazing in all kinds of bad ways with his toe, right? Like, a ball has happened to hit, you know, it just happens to be hit at a certain spot where the wall is in a certain game. His foot and toe specifically, and ligament to that toe, happens to hit where it does in the exact spot. And Aaron Judge, Kelly, what's the quote? He'll have to do maintenance on this toe for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that's what he said just the other day.
That just sounds, like you said, that sounds like a bigger story than maybe it's being made about.
Well, and I was relating it back to Jason's bet in the home run market, because Aaron Judge is plus 350 favorite right now to win that.
You worry about
that? I'm really glad you brought that up, though, because I don't think, like you said, it should be a bigger story. That is something that people haven't talked about enough, is Aaron Judge's toe really on the record. Like you said, saying this is a problem, I'm going to have to manage it the rest of my career. And that really does screw up your swing, your power, everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, just the odds of that happening. You know,
yeah, I think another good point by Jason. I was only thinking about it from like possible games he'd have to miss. But yeah, just the routine of your swing and everything being out of whack if it's hurting.
Will Hill, Should Have Been More podcast. Jason will do more of a deeper dive into baseball bets. Anything else you're betting on currently, Mr. Weingarten, sir?
Not a ton. I'm getting back into baseball. I'm pretty excited about this baseball season. I'm very really excited to get spring training underway. Like I said, it's still.
Well, I think I think we'll let Jason go on that note. Sorry, Jason. The connection was Will just, he was like, that's too much baseball. Get him out of here. Will Hill, dude, messing with the connection.
Skype has not been kind to us today.
Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Just to reiterate again, I am on Jacob Mensick. That's how it's spelled. It's really Jakub Mensick, who we, as Will said, we made a ton of money on when I was on vacation. He's taking on Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. I believe it's pronounced Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. The Mensick match is in Dubai. It is scheduled. Oh, it already started. It just started, and we're down a break. Okay, so it started, so we can't do that anymore. So sorry to update that, but Mensick is the play at plus 129. That was our pre-flop, so hopefully he gets back in. He's been down a break many times over the last couple weeks, and it hasn't mattered. Your golf again. Did you want to repeat that, or do you have any NBA plays tonight?
You know what? I didn't think I was going to have any NBA because I thought this Nuggets line had gotten away from me, but man, the NBA line movement overnight has been really fascinating this year. We are back to about 7.5, 8 everywhere on the Nuggets. If this gets down to 7 somehow, I will be in on the Denver side tonight. Sacramento coming to town. How about the old triple revenge spot for Denver here? Because they've lost every game to Sacramento so far this year. A little bizarre.
By the way, no one's feeling Sacramento this year. That's correct, right? Like, they just are not, they do not seem nearly as menacing this year as they did last year.
Yeah, there's really no reason for that, but it was just because last year they were more of a surprise, and they haven't taken that.
Yeah.
The way I brought it up with about them is like they haven't taken that next step like the Thunder have, right? Like the Thunder, we were all crazy about last year. They were covering spreads, all the best ATS team in the league. Went over their win total, and a lot of people thought they were going to be the kings of this year. I thought they'd take a next step. They took a next step, and they're a true contender in the West.
All right. So what's the bet here again?
Nuggets if it gets down to 7.
Was there another one real quick?
No, that's probably all I'm going to be playing tonight.
Okay. Yep. Let's go, Mensik. Let's get it done. We've done all we can do. The Golics are next. Gojo and Golic. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.